The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
Hey, y'all, I'm Bud Elliott, and this is my college football summer school series on Cover 3. I bring on the team experts from the 24/7 sports staff and ask them the questions I care about. No fluff. Which players will be toughest to replace? What position groups are sneakily better or worse than I realize? We get you the scoop on each team in 20 minutes or less. Let's go.
Hey guys, welcome back to another edition of Bud Elliott's Summer School, where we talk college football. Today, it's LSU. For that, I'm bringing on Glenn West of Go 24/7. Glenn, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Bud. I appreciate you for having me on. How are things?
Doing well, man. I enjoy listening to Go 24/7 podcast as well, and just keeping myself up to date on everything LSU. So a fine start for Brian Kelly, 10-4 in his first year, winning the SEC West there. Top 15 in all the power ratings, top 10 in many. Kind of an interesting year. Like they were kind of like badly outplayed by Auburn. A&M controlled the game. They got smoked by Tennessee, smoked by Georgia, and they turned around. They hammered Ole Miss. They hammered Florida. They easily handled Mississippi State. And they honestly, like I thought, outplayed Alabama by more than the score indicated. Although they had to win it late. What did you make of Brian Kelly's first year?
Certainly a swing of emotions in terms of just how this team started. When you talk about the Florida State loss and all of the fundamental issues that really cropped up early in that game, I think probably the biggest thing that we were told or that we had heard about Brian Kelly coming in was the one thing that you're not going to have to worry about is a team that's fundamentally sound. I mean, that's something that's a baseline for what he expects all of his teams to be. And certainly with some of the special teams blunders that were cropping up in that game. I know you're a big Florida State guy, so I had to throw that in there. But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway here, I guess, in year one was just an LSU team that still was finding a culture and finding a foundation of which to build its program on. It took them a little while to get there. I think the Alabama game there was one that certainly had things looking in the right direction, and you got yourself into a potential college football playoff picture by the regular season finale against Texas A&M, not able to close. I think that's probably the first year jitters in terms of trying to find a foundation to build on. Those guys just really I would say struggled for a little bit, but it wasn't unexpected to kind of have that season roll out the way that it did. 10-4 is still something that you can really build on here in year two. Got a lot of your returning foundation offensively coming back for year two, and a lot of new exciting young pieces to plug in on defense as well. So I think it's just a situation where it was exactly kind of, I think, what you had expected from year one under Brian Kelly, what you'd hope for to get to 10 wins and really kind of put yourself in the conversation for a college football playoff berth.
So the offense, and we'll transition there since you mentioned it, it really improved, I thought, pretty much every game down the stretch except for maybe the Arkansas game. Like, I'm looking at my numbers. They kind of scored above the expected points in pretty much every ball game. I'll ask you about Jaden Daniels. So he's back. He apparently is going to be the starter holding off Garrett Nussmeier. And what does he do that the coaching staff likes so much?
I think it's his dual threat ability to run and obviously throw the ball. He was very accurate on short and intermediate routes, and probably one of the biggest things that they've worked on with Jaden this offseason has just been his aggressiveness downfield. I mean, that was something that if you go back and watch the tape, he didn't take a ton of shots last year. I think there was some hesitancy on his part in terms of, okay, which guy can I really trust to go up and get a 50-50 ball, that kind of stuff. He built a nice, you know, chemistry with Malik Nabers and certainly first-year tight end Mason Taylor. But outside of that, there really wasn't a consistent threat that LSU had to rely on game to game. And I think part of that was because Jaden was really quick to run last year. That was something that we talked about a lot in season, was how can we get him to stay in the pocket, make his reads, and not be so quick to use his feet. And that's something that they've really worked on this spring. And I think that he's really taken to heart. I mean, he took a couple shots in the spring game that were really important. And you know, you're not going to open up the playbook or anything in the spring game, but you'd like to see at least some the improvements made in that respect. And yeah, in terms of holding off Garrett Nussmeier, I think that's a great way to put it. I think Nussmeier is a guy that's coming. He's somebody that's in the program for a reason. He elected not to enter the transfer portal this offseason, so he's going to be sticking around at least through December now. And you know, you hope that the kind of the projection here is that you get Daniels for a year, you get Nussmeier in for the next couple years as your starter, and that really leaves the LSU quarterback situation in a really nice spot for the next couple years.
That's an embarrassment of riches. I mean, I think I'd rather have Nussmeier than about half, looking at the schedule here, about half the quarterbacks LSU is about to face on its SEC schedule, just from seeing, I got to see him in person against Purdue and then obviously the SEC title game. I think your point about protecting the ball and being a threat with the legs makes sense. You know, only three interceptions for Daniels and 1,085 rushing yards is nothing to sneeze at. And yet I feel like this team can't make the jump if teams don't actually fear the downfield stuff. Am I wrong to think this receiver room is just sick? Like, I love Malik Nabers. Daniels underthrew him or just missed him a lot last year. Like, he turned touchdowns into 30-yard gains, it felt like, with some of these throws. And, like, Brian Thomas and Lacy, maybe I'm too high on these guys. I think this is, like, a really nice receiver room.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And I think some of the resources that they used this offseason was to attack the vertical game. And you got Chris Hilton back, who's a former five-star that you're hoping he can stay healthy. You brought in Aaron Anderson from Alabama, another vertical threat. Brian Thomas has proven to be a big play threat as well. I think it's really just about finding the chemistry with those guys and making sure that Daniels knows that he can be aggressive. He can make some mistakes downfield, but as long as he keeps taking those shots, they're also going to make some big plays for him as well. And I think that was a big part of this spring for LSU in terms of how they're going to figure that out and what that offense is going to look like. I think probably the vertical passing game is going to take a step up. But the other question mark, I think, for the offense is the running back situation. They have a couple of backs that are banged up right now that didn't go through spring, guys that were a little bit older, and you don't really know, I think, what to expect from them in terms of their injury histories. So that's an area that LSU certainly looked at here in the second portal cycle. And the complement of the run game is going to be extremely important for LSU to kind of have the season they want to have next year.
That line will be running those backs will be running behind the line with, to me, it's very impressive that LSU won the SEC West playing two freshmen mini games at offensive tackle. Like, that's not easy to do. Can this line take a big step and be the best in the SEC or close to it?
Absolutely. I mean, Will Campbell and Emory Jones is a great start there. And you have Miles Frazier, who's coming back for a second year. The guy they got out of the transfer portal was the number one O lineman, I think, in our rankings last year. You've got Garrett Dellinger, who's a veteran, who's been around for a little while. Charles Turner is a center that they really, really like. And then, you know, they have five freshmen and transfers coming in after this spring that are really going to add to the mix. I mean, Zalance Hurd is a five-star on our services right now. I could easily see a situation where Hurd is immediately ready to kind of jump in as a tackle. And maybe you slide Emory Jones in to guard, and then you're looking at a really big, really consistent, really veteran experienced group with a lot of talent. And so I think that this offensive line is probably the one group that's poised to take a major leap. And that's, that's good for this offense. That's good for this team.
If they stay healthy, I don't see any way that they don't jump from like top 40 to at least top 15 as a unit here. There's just too much talent there, I think, overall. Glenn, let's shift over to the defense. Year one under Matt House, all the defensive ratings pretty much consistent, top 25. Really nice job that they did, and kind of carrying the team while the offense found its footing, I guess. But they do lose. They lose Roy. They lose Ali Gay. And they lose Ojulari, right? Am I missing anybody? Yep.
They lost Ojulari. They lost Jay Ward, who was a big piece of their secondary. They lost Bernard Converse and Mekhi Gardner.
Right.
Yeah, on the back end.
No, for sure. Up front, like Mason Smith, Wingo. Do we know what the health status is on these guys? Like, they didn't play the spring game.
Yeah, so Mason Smith is really close to a return. He was actually doing individual drills towards the end of spring practice. They just didn't want to throw him out in the game and risk anything. They want him to be full go for fall camp. They expect him to be full go. They expect Mekhi Wingo to both be fine for fall camp to go full contact.
Oh, awesome. That's huge news then. I mean, just given the Mason Smith, if our listeners at home or viewers don't know, former like number one defensive tackle prospect, a stud, got hurt in the FSU game, like we mentioned, to open the show.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
What does it say about the confidence that this staff has in the pass rush that it's actually playing Perkins at linebacker instead of edge rusher? Like, do we read into that?
Yeah, I think you absolutely should read into that, because I think one of the LSU's biggest needs of addressing that they had this offseason was the defensive line. They brought in several transfer portal guys. They brought in Paris Shand. Ovi Ogofu is a guy from Texas who has a lot of pass rushing experience. Braden Swinson's a guy that they really like. Deshaun Womack is a true freshman that they signed that feels, he was a little bit banged up this spring as well, but he's going to be ready for full contact in the fall. I absolutely think this defensive line is poised to be probably one of the more efficient and most effective in the SEC next year. If everybody can stay healthy. And that's the biggest caveat with this group right now, is that they do have some injuries that they have to overcome, and making sure those guys are fully ready for the fall camp is extremely important. But in the meantime, it's allowed LSU to be more versatile with how they use Harold Perkins. He was working a lot with inside linebackers this offseason, certainly this spring. He was working mostly first and second down inside linebacker. Then they kind of shipped him over to that jack spot on third down. That's kind of, I think, the strategy for at least now. We'll see if anything changes in the fall. You want to be able to use Perkins in a variety of ways, because offenses are going to be star, pencil, underline, sharpie, and every single opposing offense is going to be doing that with Harold Perkins at the top of that list.
So you mentioned Ovi, so we covered him. I want to ask you about Oregon State transfer Omar Spates, who they also took at linebacker. What are the early returns on him, and do you think he's going to play a major role?
Oh, yeah. I think he's probably going to be your second inside linebacker starter. He was getting all the first-team reps. They really like his leadership. They like his calming presence here as a linebacker, to come in and really pick things up quickly. And I mean, he was a four-year starter at Oregon State and did a really nice job. I think had close to 400 tackles in his career. So that's just a guy that I think is ready to play big-time SEC football. I think he's a seamless fit here for the linebacker and for the middle of this defense, and has really helped shape I think Harold Perkins a little bit too this spring. He's taken him under his wing a little bit in terms of how to, you know, really adjust to that inside linebacker role. And I think it's worked out well for LSU.
And looking at my notes and things from last year to figure out what I was going to ask you, I stumbled upon the run defense in the final two SEC games gave up almost 600 yards on the ground, which is not good, but also like not what they had done for the most part of their SEC schedule. And that was A&M in Georgia for the listeners at home. Is that something those teams just found? Was it a, did certain guys not be able to play because of injury? Because like that's a little bit of a concerning trend if it's actually a trend.
Yeah, that's it. It was a very concerning trend, and I think it's something that they had to address because they were not very deep on the interior last year, and that's why they went out and they got Paris Shand out of the transfer portal. They got Jordan Jefferson out of the transfer portal. Jalen Lee from Florida is a big defensive tackle that they really like out of the transfer portal. And then you get Wingo and you get Smith coming back. I think that's a good nucleus there to help you really get back to what you wanted to do. As an interior run defense, I think probably the biggest silver lining to Smith getting hurt last year was Wingo. He was able to start all the games last year and really established himself, I think, as a really elite option as a run stuffer on the interior. That was a part of his game that he really focused on prior to last season, and it paid off. And so you're hoping that those two guys, with some of the veteran depth you have behind them, can really help you improve with the run defense, because it was certainly an area where teams were looking to kind of hit LSU last year towards the end of the season because they were so banged up.
So if you're listening so far, you're probably thinking, like, this sounds like a national title team as long as Daniels improves as a passer. And I wouldn't disagree, and maybe you don't disagree with that so far, but I got to ask you about the secondary.
Yeah.
So they lose five of their top seven guys by snap count off of secondary last year. They kind of pieced together out of the transfer portal. And now they're looks like they're trying to do it again. They're bringing in a bunch of transfer portal guys again. Can you sort this out, both in terms of like who do we think is going to play and what is your level of confidence in corner and safety?
Yeah, sure. The cold water you can certainly pour on LSU's championship hopes is the secondary at the moment. I think that was probably one area that we didn't really know a whole lot of what to expect coming in, because they just – had a one-year stopgap with a bunch of veteran players, and then they had to recharge and refill that room up again. And you have Greg Brooks and Major Burns coming back at safety. I think that's a nice 1-2 tandem there to kind of help you feel good about your safety prospects. They don't have a ton of depth at safety, which is why I think LSU's certainly dipped their toes into looking at the transfer portal here the last week or so, and maybe adding a piece there. But the cornerback room is the biggest point of concern, I think, if you're LSU. Zy Alexander is a guy they brought in from the portal. Denver Harris, J.K. Johnson, these are former top 50 players in the country that didn't work out at their first stops. And it's going to be a process. It's going to be a process of getting those guys up to speed. Brian Kelly said really after the spring game that they have a lot of faith in potential of those guys. But they're young and they're raw, and it's going to take some time for them to get implemented into this system. And so that's, you saw it in the spring game as well. They got, missed tackles. They got beat a bunch, by the first team offense. It really was not a pretty day for the secondary. And so if there's some cold water to pour on LSU's championship hopes, I think it definitely comes in the secondary, and who you're going to be able to rely on come fall.
LSU definitely plays at least some good and some at least veteran passing offenses within the first 2 months of the season. FSU, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Ole Miss, before they get kind of a break with like Missouri, Auburn.
That FSU game is going to be so important for both those teams. Yeah. I mean, that could really be the difference between hosting or being in a New Year's Six Bowl or being in the college football playoff for both of those teams.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you lose it, you really don't have any more margin for error. If you win it, you kind of can lose a ball game, I think, and still make it. So you mentioned Brooks and Burns. Did those guys miss the spring game too, right?
Yeah. So Burns did. Okay? He has a bit of an ankle injury. Brooks missed some time with the sprained ankle, but he was back for the spring game. Okay. Didn't look 100% though. Didn't play a whole ton. But they expect both of those guys to be ready for fall camp. The one guy that of all the injured pieces that LSU had this year or this spring that is going to be fall camp for sure might not be quite 100% is Armani Goodwin, the running back. They think he'll be back for fall camp, but you know, Mason Taylor's going to be back, Mason Smith, and certainly those secondary pieces are all going to be in the running for competition here at the come fall.
Awesome. Glenn, so what's the one position on this ball club where you would say the starters are just way better than the backups?
At this point, I would probably lean towards the offensive line, just because a lot of the offensive line that they've brought in are freshmen. There are a lot of young pieces here that you have to figure out what you have in them first, and they just haven't been on the field yet. So, and they have they're not a very veteran offensive line, but they're very experienced. And so they have a lot of second and third year guys who started all of last year, who had that experience of being full-time starters in the SEC. I think it can be one of the best starting lineups or starting offensive lines in the SEC next year, based off what they have coming back. The depth behind them is where you're really going to see just how LSU was able to adapt, because they shuffled them in and out. They had a bunch of veteran guys enter the portal that weren't getting playing time, and they replaced them with young talent. We just got to see if that young talent can hold up in the fall.
Glenn, really appreciate you joining us here on the Bud Elliott Summer School. Check out Cover 3. Check out the Go 24/7 podcast. That is GEAUX. Got the LSU style spelling there. Don't just Google GO. That's not it. Awesome, man. We will catch you probably again on the show before the season starts.
Absolutely. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.